This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the July 13, 2012 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of an article on the lumbar spine and a general interest article published by JNS Spine today. Results and complications after two-level axial lumbar interbody fusion with a minimum two-year follow-up. A clinical article by Louise Markey and colleagues. Currently, there are a number of surgical routes for lumbar degenerative disc disease, such as anterior lumbar interbody fusion, posterior lumbar interbody fusion, transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion, transpsoas lateral interbody fusion, and axial transsacral interbody fusion. This last route is a fairly new option and has been shown to be safe and effective. Axial transsacral interbody fusion was recently extended to two-level fusions, L4 to L5 and L5 to S1. However, there is still very little literature on the subject and, until now, only biomechanical and radiological studies have discussed the feasibility of this new indication. Here, the authors present a clinical study and report results and complications associated with two-level presacral axial lumbar interbody fusion. Although short-term outcomes were promising, mid-term radiological analysis revealed important concerns such as radiolucency around the prosthesis, pseudarthrosis, and lack of bone fusion. Other reports on this novel procedure are needed for state-of-the-art two-level transsacral interbody fusion. But for these authors, this experience was sufficient to discontinue its use. Treatment of post-traumatic syringomyelia, a clinical article by George Claycamp. In the past, post-traumatic syringomyelia was considered a late consequence of spinal cord injury evolving from an area of cord damage. Shunting appeared to be the only treatment possible. Modern imaging techniques such as MRI have led to new insights into the pathophysiology of syringomyelia. Post-traumatic syringomyelia is caused by arachnoid scarring and spinal cord tethering, and does not require a spinal cord injury. In this article, the author presents the results of a treatment concept that aims to restore cerebrospinal fluid flow and to untether the spinal cord at the level of injury, without any shunting of syrinx cavities. Patients have been treated according to this strategy since 1991 and followed up prospectively to 2010. Of 137 patients, surgery was restricted to 61 with progressive neurological symptoms, while surgery was not advised for or refused by 76 patients. Postoperative results were characterized by a syrinx decrease for 61%, minor symptomatic improvements for 51%, and an unchanged status for 41%. In the long term, Kaplan-Meier statistics revealed that the outcome depended on the extent of initial spinal cord injury. Neurological symptoms remained stable for at least 5 years in 94% of patients without an initial cord injury, and in 86% of patients with a complete cord injury. In patients with an incomplete cord injury, the rate was considerably lower at 61%, because arachnolysis and untethering could not be fully achieved in all patients due to the desire to preserve residual cord function. Among conservatively treated patients, neurological symptoms remained stable for 10 years in 84% of those without a recommendation for surgery, whereas 60% of those with a surgical recommendation experienced symptom progression within 5 years. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.